Couple of months ago it was, well, about 6 weeks ago, Mark asked me to would I be up for doing this, what's up God's sleeves, and at the time I thought it was a good idea, but now the time has come, I'm thinking to myself it's not a good idea at all. But anyhow, this picture we've got here, I really don't think that does any justice. Do you see the basketball players, the American basketball players, or the English ones, but especially the American ones, the way they can get the basketball, and then put it on the end of their finger, and they just spin the ball. Well, that reminds me of our God, so it does. I mean, he doesn't need his hands, see, he can just do that. You know what I mean? There's a song the Newsboys sing, and it's called Fisher of Men. It says 7 billion people on a spinning ball, and that's what we are. 7 billion people on a spinning ball. So, what's up God's sleeves? We'll start with, at the top, we've got shoulders. Yeah, you can count shoulders. Yeah, I don't want to break into a song where the knee bone's connected to the... But, we've got shoulders, we've got his arms. His hands, the broad shoulders of the Lord, the mighty arms of the Lord, the humble hands of the Lord that wash the disciples' feet. Much can be said about the hands, fingers, a lot of gestures and sayings can be made without even opening one's mouth. Take, for instance, the thumbs up. They mean something's good, it's okay. Or the thumbs down. They mean that you disapprove of something, you don't like it, or it's not very good. You can shake your fist at anger at someone. We don't do that, do we? Or you can be known as a tight-fisted person, a stingy person. Or you can be known as an open-handed person, quite generous person. I didn't look at you. You can greet people, so you can, with a handshake. Pray to God, with your hands closed, open, whatever you want. Worship them with your arms up in the air. You can also comfort people. Say goodbye and much, much more. I like to go to the gym. I like to try and keep fit. Lift some weights. Pull myself up to get a bit stronger. But the thing is, it's not something you can do all day long with any specific body part. Because eventually that body part will start feeling like jelly. You'll have to set the weights down. You'll have to put them down. You'll have to stop running, whatever it is you do. You may be able to squeeze that extra little rep in, but you'll get that burn where you just virtually can't lift anything else. Or what about the World's Strongest Man contest? Does anybody watch that? Yep. You see these huge men pulling thousands of pounds of weight. I've seen them pulling buses, planes, massive lorries with a big strap around them. I've even seen one balance a mini on his head. Now that's amazing, that a mini car on his head. That was without breaking his neck. Fantastic. But just like for these huge men, there are limitations that they have to stop somewhere. That fatigue sets in, that they can't go any further, but they have to stop. Or take a little child who's maybe fallen, who is not well, and they turn to their mother or father, their parents, little tears streaming down their faces. The mother and father can pick that child up, care for that child, bring them sort of like close into their heart, hold them. But eventually the mother or father has to set that child down. Despite their best intentions, they have to set the child down because their arms get fatigued, their back gets sore. With God, it's a completely different story. The Lord God Almighty never grows tired or weak. The arms of the Lord are the everlasting arms. In Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31, it says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weak." Sorry. "He gives strength to the weary, and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The truth is, we live in a world of tired people. Often we hear the word fatigue. Fatigue used by soldiers that face maybe battle fatigue. Traffic accidents can be caused through driver's fatigue. Or maybe you're just fatigued after an illness. God repeatedly reassures us of the strengthening grace. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Again, in Philippians 4:13, Paul says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." God is our constant strength. He never gets tired. He can do everything as easy as he can do anything. He does all things with the same amount of ease. In Psalms 18, verses 31 and 32, David says, "For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? Is it God who arms me with strength and keeps my ways secure? The Lord God is also our peace, our provider, our protector." He's our peace. Jesus tells us in John 14:27, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." The Lord has given us something here that money can't buy. No money on earth can buy this. His peace, an inward peace of conscience that arises from a sense of pardon, sin, and reconciliation with God. The Lord can give us peace because he purchased it with his own blood at Calvary. It's not a peace that is given as the world gives, which is sparingly, selfishly, or for a short period of time. His gift of peace is forever. We just need to reach out and take it. We need that peace, Jesus tells us, for in John 16:33, Jesus says himself, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Despite of what the world can throw us, as far as troubles, tribulations, disappointments, storms, Jesus has overcome all this at the cross at Calvary. We can rest assured that we're on the winning side. We need to keep our eyes steadfast on the Lord. Then we will have that perfect peace. His arms are arms of protection. We can rest secure in his arms. In Isaiah 41, verses 10 to 13, the Lord says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing and perish. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. In 2 Timothy 4:18, the Apostle Paul writes, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." Just as Paul acknowledges here, we too can be confident in God's power, his protection, even in death. God will bring every believer safely through death to his heavenly kingdom. Praise God, death has no grip on us who believe. God is always with us. In Luke 23, verses 46, Jesus himself called out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." In Psalms 31, verse 5, David calls out the exact same words, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God." Then there's young Stephen in Acts 7, who prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." David's words here convey his complete trust in God. Jesus' words also convey and show an absolute dependence on God the Father. And young Stephen showed confidence that in death he was simply passing from God's earthly care to his heavenly care. Then we have God's provision. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. In Philippians 4:19, Paul says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." God will always meet our needs, whatever we need here on earth. He will supply, even if it is the courage to face death as Paul did. But it's not always the case of God just dishing out everything willy-nilly. The Lord gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want. I want the Mitsubishi Evo. I really do. But God's given me a car for the needs, for what I need it for. In Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you not to worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about the body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or sow in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? King David tells us in Psalms 145, verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Our God provides all we need, our food, drink, clothing, money, jobs, cars, rest, love, joy, everything else and beyond. Jesus fed 5,000 people, not counting the women and the children, with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they were all satisfied. 12 baskets were left over. When God provides, he provides abundantly. In Malachi 3:10, the Lord says, bring the whole tithe into my storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings you will not have room enough for it. The people of Israel wandered the desert for 40 years, never went hungry, thirsty, sandals never wore out. Our God is a God who doesn't hold back his provision. It is abundant. Does the Lord not send rain for the wicked as well as the righteous? We must never forget everything we have or will have is from God. 1 Chronicles 29:14, David speaking says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given only what comes from your hand. Well, just to close now, a scripture that can't be left out is Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out your enemies before you, saying, destroy them. How often is it that we entrust our lives to other things, perhaps money, a career, a noble cause, or a lifelong dream? But our only true refuge is the eternal God, who always holds out his everlasting arms to catch us when the shaky supports we trust in gives way. There is nothing in this world which can snatch us out of the everlasting arms of God. God will always be there to catch us when we fall. Amen.